You're listening to R&IB Connect Radio. Today we're joined by our drummer and producer, Steve Burge. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
Before we get into all things drumming and all things producing, can you tell us a wee bit about your sight loss, please?
Yeah, I was born with Bardet-Biedl syndrome, which affects about one in every 200,000 births. So I was born with partial sight, and I've got retinitis pigmentosa, and I didn't know I had it until I was kind of 11. Then I was partial sight up until the age of 20, and then I lost all of my usable vision I had left at the age of 20, more or less overnight. You know, it's kind of one of them things, you know, it happens. So, you know, it was a life-changing thing, and it's now kind of coming up to being 30 years since I lost my sight nearly this year. So, you know, but it's one of those things I think happened very quickly and didn't know a lot about what the kind of prognosis was when it happened, really.
With it being a milestone like that, with you coming up to 30 years, do you use this time to kind of look back on the 30 years that have been?
Yeah, they've been amazing. They've been some of the most maddest, interesting times, I think, of the last 30 years. You know, I've done things I possibly wouldn't have done, and I've also done a lot of things I probably shouldn't have done. You know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I mean, yeah, I'm in a very, very good space in my life at the moment.
So let's get into music then. Was music always a love of yours? When did it first come into your life?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, I kind of started playing piano a little bit when I was about 5 or 6. Had a love of listening to music. My gran, who was very into music, bought me a tape of Shakin' Stevens when I was about 6 years old. and it had like Green Door and all sorts of, you know, kind of like typical early Shakin' kind of stuff. And yeah, I got very into music at a very young age. And you know, my uncle, who lived in Saudi Arabia, he used to come back and bring a lot of kind of, you know, bootleg kind of tapes back and stuff. So the comedy kind of, my brother and I used to steal lots of tapes out of his music collection he'd bring back from the Middle East when we were kids, and got into a lot of kind of bands he was into, you know. And then my grandfather, my dad's dad, he was the first manager for Radio Rentals after the war in Tunbridge Wells. So we had a lot of, you know, my early kind of years are spent with him out in his shed at their home in Tunbridge Wells. Sitting out there with him, and although I was too young to do anything, you know, he used to kind of talk to me a lot about that, and he would do all these Morse code and stuff and things, and he was big into ham radio and building electronics and all that kind of stuff. Kind of got more into music, and then when I left school, I kind of got more into it, and then when I lost my sight, I kind of took up music in a serious way. You know, I was teaching drums at a music youth place called The Warren in Hull. And then through that, one of the staff there found out about the music technology courses, which were being run at the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford, as it was in those days. I applied and got funding and started there in 1997. And, you know, like a lot of visually impaired people, kind of never looked back, you know, and got the bug. And then I was very lucky at that point in Hull. I met a famous drummer called Bobby Oretchiger, who was the drummer for Strongheart and worked with loads of people. He's from an American teacher. And we met, and I started studying with him the last year I was at RNC. And then I continued to study with him after I moved back to Hull, and then to just kind of study with him, it became more and more, and then I got involved in other things, and then I was in lots of different bands, and I started teaching more, started doing clinics, and then I moved to London, and I went to, you know, I was down in Redhill in that area, and then I was doing radio journalism with Des Shepherd and some other people down there, and then I eventually made contact with Colin Woolway, who was the owner of Drum Sense, and I became Drum Sense tutor back in 2004, and I was the first blind clinician and tutor to represent Drum Sense, and as far as I know, I'm still the only one in the world.
Well, you've given us pretty much the whistle stop tour there of everything you've done. Going back to your producing a little bit, I've noticed on your website you mention a lot about producing by feel rather than, say, having things heavily quantized and so on.
I grew up I'm a very big believer in old school kind of stuff. You know, I kind of, through my working with people like Dave Marquis, who used to be at Clapton's bass player, I played with him for 5 years, and working with some other people along the way, and my kind of interaction with people through drum sense. And I kind of started to think, well, you know, actually, yes, why follow the trend? You know, everybody, you know, all these big plug-in companies that started emulating some of the big kind of desks and all the old style of doing things and, you know, emulating tape machines and all that. So I got really into that. And it was at a time when I was crossing over from using kind of sonar into using Pro Tools as it became more accessible. And at the time, I kind of started looking, you know, how can I kind of access and get the kind of sound that I love from the music I grew up listening to, you know, and bands like Dr. Hook and Dr. Feelgood, Stevie Wonder and the Beat, you know, all these kind of bands. And then Jimi Hendrix, and they had this really amazing saturated kind of sound, which just felt to me so natural. So I wanted to try and keep some of that and put my own take on it and develop my own skills. So that's what I've been really doing for the last kind of like 10-15 years, but you know, a lot more in the last probably I'd say 5 or 10 years, you know, since things have started becoming more and more accessible. And as they get more accessible, then visually impaired people are starting to get access to some kind of things that put us on the same level as sighted engineers, which is great.
Making things sound a wee bit wrong, a wee bit wonky as well.
Yeah, I mean, the imperfections are perfection, you know what I mean? So like, you know, something that might be slightly up, if you take something like, you know, an AC/DC record, which, you know, always sounded great, but the kind of magic about band is like, you know, they're all really glued together, but there's a little bit of speeding up now and again, a little bit of slowing down, like pushing and pulling between all the musicians. And, you know, together is kind of what gives them that sound and that feel. And it you know, they're one of my favorite bands and a great band, and they've all sounded good. But I think that's the thing now, where, you know, some things are not always perfect, but it has that human element to it, which I think people are really after these days.
It's got character to it.
Yeah. And also playing, you know, real people playing, because I think it's using the technology in a way where the skill meets the technology. You know, there's kind of, you can get drum machines and you can get things to do anything, but you'll never, in my opinion, you know, kind of replace the humanistic and personal kind of feel of someone playing a drum kit in a studio really mic'd up really well and sounding great.
Finally, Steve, if our listeners want to find out more about you, perhaps hear some of your work, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to my website, which is acousticdexterity.com. I'm on TikTok at StephenBurge7. And yeah, there's links on my website to everything. And, you know, they can search me there and find me that way.
Drummer and producer Steve Burge, thank you so much for joining us here on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thanks. Have a good evening. Take care.